Good morning.
Yeah, my throat's a little dry. We're going to continue our series, When the Silent Years Came to an End. Last week we talked about the birth of John, commonly referred to as John the Baptist, and how God's Spirit began to move. Remember, there had been 400 silent years when God didn't say anything. There were no dreams, no visions, no prophecies. And today, we're going to talk about when God fulfilled a promise he made all the way back in Eden about the birth of the Christ. The text is Isaiah 7:14 and then Luke 1:26-33. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, Son of God. Father, I thank you for your word, for the truth of the word. I thank you for the mercy, Lord, that you remembered the covenant you made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you extended it to we who were not your people. As we gather today, during this season when we celebrate the birth of the Christ, I ask that you would open every ear here, open every heart, rebuke any spirits that might be here, Lord, to steal the word or to cause dissension. And I ask all this that you may be glorified through your holy child, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a sad world we live in. I watched a commercial the other day. And they estimate 1,500 people a day in America die of drug and alcohol overdose. Now, I don't know why that distinction is made. Alcohol's a drug, but it's a legalized drug, and I guess it eases their conscience to say drugs and alcohol. But something's wrong. And there's hundreds of thousands estimated in this country alone who have problems with opiates or barbiturates or alcohol. And I was talking with Dr. Mark this morning. Dr. Mark. And they say it's a disease. And, you know, I asked him to reaffirm this. There is no scientific evidence to prove that. But woe be to the scientist who would stand today and say, No, it's not a disease, it's a choice. Something's wrong. Murder's up. Violent crimes are up. Seems like what Jesus said is happening. A man's enemies will be those of his own house. There are crimes. signs in Springfield, and I'll hear the news. And now every time the news comes on, breaking news, there's been another shooting or a stabbing. And those are streets I ran as a teenager and never thought about anything like that happening. I'm not going back in the good old days. There was problems there. But it seems like when you turn the news on, local or national, it's all bad news. And you begin to wonder, isn't there any good news out there? Well, that's what we're talking about through this month, the good news. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, this problem that we see today isn't new. It goes all the way back to when God created man on the earth and the woman. And the prophecy I read you from Isaiah is tied back into the first and oldest prophecy of the Bible in the book of Genesis. You're all familiar with the story of the fall. It said God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, and also the tree of life. And there was only one tree he forbade the couple to eat from, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it says one day, the serpent said to Eve, that's where we come in on the story. Did God really say? Satan usually begins his temptations with doubt. If he can put that seed of doubt in your mind, get you to start questioning. Well, I know the Bible says, I've heard Christians say this. I know the Bible says, but buts are dangerous. You're getting ready to play into Satan's trap. I know the Bible says, but. And Adam and Eve, I don't believe they were on the other end of the garden and the serpent came and said, come here, I want to show you something. Let's go over here. I think they were standing there looking at those two trees. And they were probably having a conversation with something like, I wonder why God didn't want us to eat off that tree. Adam said, well, I don't know. He just said not to. But, you know, he said we'd die. Well, I've heard it said they had no concept of death. I disagree with that. Because when Eve told the serpent, God said not to eat it or touch it or we'll die, she evidently had a concept of what died in. That's my opinion. And they're standing there kicking this back and forth, and then the serpent splits up and says, say, did God really say? We know what happened. He said Eve saw that the tree was good. It was good for food. It was good to look at, beautiful to look at, and it was desirable to make one wise. Satan convinced them, God's holding out on you. You see, Adam and Eve at this time, you could consider them amoral. Not immoral, amoral. All they knew was God. And it wasn't the tree of the knowledge of evil. That's the way it's presented sometimes. It's the tree of the knowledge of evil. No, it was the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan used that as a leverage. He said, God doesn't want you to eat off that because when you do, you'll be just like God. So they ate. God shows up and they hide. That's what sin does in our lives. It hides God's face from us and it causes us to want to hide from him. We quit going to church. We quit reading the word. We quit hanging around people that bring us under conviction. Or people that do convict us, we complain. You know, I'm not getting around him. He convicts me. I can't convict you. The Holy Spirit does the convicting. The Word of God does the convicting. And the fact that you are aware of its truths will convict you. And on the plus side, the Bible says that we that believe that have set this to our seal that God is true. So that's good news. And if the Lord convicts you, he says, don't faint when I rebuke you. Because I chastise every son and daughter I receive. Praise the Lord. Yes, how'd you get over there? It's easy. All right. God shows up and he said, where are you, man? He said, well, I heard you and I was naked, so I hid. And God said, who told you you were naked? Did you eat off that tree? Well, God knew what they'd done.
He's just giving Adam a chance to be a man. And he did the man thing. The woman you gave me, she gave me fruit and I ate it. He looked over at Eve and said, what about it, hon? She was the one that was honest. She said, well, the serpent tricked me and I ate it. And God looks at the serpent and he starts there. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's the first recorded prophecy in the Word of God. Why did God determine that it would be the offspring of the woman and not the man? That question was presented in Bible college, and when you get a room full of preachers, there's as many opinions there as there are preachers. And the number one opinion I heard from my brothers, well, if Jesus had been born of man, he'd have been born with a fallen nature of sin, and he could not therefore have been the one to redeem us. And I like to think. So I said, then Mary doesn't have a nature of sin. No, women have the nature of sin. You just said Jesus couldn't be the actual son of Joseph because he'd had a sin nature. Well, do you think Jesus was a sinner? No. Do you think Jesus had a nature of sin? No. And I don't think I do, or you do. Now, I've been telling you guys this for 13 years. Sometimes you still look at me like, now, Lord, I ask you to help me stay out of this subject. Yeah. But Adam and Eve had no nature of sin. All they had was a choice, and they made the wrong choice. Okay. But God shows up knowing what happened. He didn't pull the consequences out for Adam and Eve and say, well, we'll forget it this time. They sinned. And God said, if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. And the serpent said, you ain't going to die. And we know from further on in the scripture that Satan was speaking through the serpent. God shows up and he's already got a plan. He had every right to show up and say, I told you to not to eat of that tree. And I'm just going to have this paradise earth with nobody on it. Nobody but the animals. But he didn't do that. You see, he already knew what was going to happen before it happened. And the Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of the world. God said, servant, we know he's talking to Satan. He says, I'm putting enmity between you and the seed for the offspring of the woman. Well, then, why did God call him the seed of the woman? Because Joseph was his daddy. God was his daddy. She was born of a virgin, so there would be no doubt that this was, as our Catholic brothers and sisters say, the Immaculate Conception. The virgin shall be with child. And you shall call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. I'm not going to get over into that, but that's next week. So, God told the snake and the man and the woman, there's coming a man coming from the woman, and he's going to bruise your head. And now the angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a son. And you're going to name him Jesus. The word in Hebrew is Yeshua. Yeshua means the Lord saves. See, we got a problem. We have a sin problem. We have a love of self problem. That's why we sin. I'm here to tell you that I'm fully convinced. Why do we sin? Not because we have a propensity to sin. We have a propensity for self. I will gratify my desires however I decide to. After all, it's my body, it's my life. I hear that a lot. Well, don't you think a woman has a right to do with her body what she wants? Well, yeah. But that baby you're aborting isn't your body. That's somebody that the Lord God knit together in her womb. And you don't have a right to kill that baby. Yeah. We sin because we love self. Okay? We love self supremely. As I said, Adam and Eve fell. And I believe the farther away we get from that first care, the more depraved we become. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. How was it in the days of Noah? He said, God looked at the wickedness of man and it was very great, and he was sorry. He repented that he had made man. But praise God, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We see the grace of God in the third chapter of Genesis. Adam and Eve could not redeem themselves. They couldn't take back what they did. I told my kids that when they were growing up. You can't take something back. When I was teaching my boys about hunting, you know, I'd take them out and we'd shoot at bottles and stuff, getting them used to it, and I'd say, once you pull the trigger, you can't take it back. So you better be sure what you're pointing at. And see, once we sin, we couldn't take it back. We couldn't say, do over, Lord, do over. Now we got to figure it out. Let us do it again, and this time we'll run that snake out. God said, you disobeyed me. And you're going to die. I told you you would die. Now you're going to die. They died spiritually instantly. It took death 936 years to figure out how to kill Adam. But God had a plan. He said, I'm going to send a man to the woman. The angel said to the woman, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, the power of God. So that which is in your womb shall be called holy, the Son of God. You know, there's religions today have a problem with that. You tell a Muslim, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, they'll say, Allah is one. He can't have a son. I like to say, well, what do you do with Adam? Because when you read the genealogy of Luke, he gives this, he names everybody in the bloodline of Christ, and he goes back to Adam. He says, Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the Son of God. I've had Christians get mad at me about that. One lady in particular said, Adam was not the Son of God. Well, that's what the Bible says. Yeah, but he was not the Son of God. I said, that's what the Bible says. But he's not the Son of God. I finally figured out what she was saying. And I said, why do you say that? He was made in God's image. He was handmade by God. I think God spit on the dirt and made a man and breathed dirt into him or life into him. And he was a living being, a living soul, the Son of God. He's the one that made this mess that we're in today. Paul said that when Adam sinned, sin came into the world and death because of sin. All of a sudden, this perfect creation, everything that was good went bad. And people today still like to blame God. I'm not going to serve your God because if he's such a good God, why is there so much evil on this earth? Well, I'm glad you acknowledge that there is evil on the earth. It's not a disease. It's not a genetic predisposition. It is a choice of men and women who have gone wrong, and Satan is their God. And he's here to kill, steal, and destroy, and that includes you and me. And God, knowing what was going to be the consequences of this, steps in and says, you guys disobey me, you're going to die, but I got a plan. I got a plan. Then he said to the prophet Isaiah, he actually said, go to King Ahaz and tell him, ask me any sign, as high as heaven or as low as hell, low as Sheol. And you know what Ahaz said? I'm not going to tempt the Lord. Isaiah said, how long are you going to grieve God? God told you to ask him. He said, so he's going to give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And we read in Luke's discourse that Gabriel comes to Mary in Elizabeth's 6 month of her pregnancy with Jehochanan, the grace of God. That's what John's name was. Dr. Clark said the Greek does not do it any service, neither does the English. His name was not John. It was Jehochanan, the grace of God. God's grace was in effect all the way back in Eden. Adam and Eve couldn't undo what they did. They couldn't be good enough to redeem themselves. In Isaiah's day, when he went into the throne room of heaven in that vision, he said, woe to me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among the people of unclean lips. People, when you come into the presence of God, it will knock you down. I'm not talking about being slain in the spirit. I'm saying when you come into God's presence in prayer, everything is lit up about your life. You ought to try it sometime. That's not a little 5 minute prayer. Oh, God, yeah, I know you're God and I'm not. And bless me, amen. God said, when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. He wants to reveal himself to you and to me. But we got this problem. We have this wall between us and him, and it's sin. Paul said the first Adam was of the dust, earthly. The second Adam came from heaven. God is such a just God. He said, my son Adam brought all this trouble, so it has to be my son, Yeshua, who's going to undo what Adam did. Yeshua will offer himself, the spotless Lamb of God, on that cross and pour his blood out. Then I can safely forgive Adam's race. I found something interesting in my reading of Ezekiel. He calls him Son of Man all the time. Son of Man. Son of Man. And I found out the Hebrew there is Adam. God says, Son of Adam. Adam in Hebrew means man. Adam. We say Adam. God said, Son of Adam, I want you to prophesy. Son of Adam, set your face against Adam. Son of Adam, here's my message of hope for Israel. And we live in a time, in a very exciting time today, church, that we are actively involved in that time called grace. Who are we telling? I catch myself pulling back sometimes. I used to hang with a lot of wild people, and there's a lot of wild people now, and I ain't one of them. But they need Jesus just as much as I do. Yeah. Paul said the first Adam became a living soul and he was earthly. The second Adam was heaven. He said, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and death spread to all men, but the free gift is not like the trespass.
For if many die through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. I'm going to tell you something. This week, or I'm going to challenge you, this week, read the gospel narratives, and it's Matthew and Luke, the only gospel narratives of the birth of Jesus, when the Spirit of God was coming on people and they were being filled. Read their prayer, their praise. Inspired through the Holy Spirit, they said, "You have remembered your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." What was that covenant? The law? No. The covenant that God made with Abraham and said, "By your seed, Jesus Christ, many will be blessed." In fact, he said, "All nations will be blessed." The promise God made to Abraham was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Wow. That God would place His Holy Spirit in a wretch like me. Just floors me. But that's how much He loves me and He loves you. Yeah, God said, "Look, the law didn't work and I didn't give it to you to work." And yet I still hear people say, "Well, Christianity is all about rules and keeping rules." And, well, sometimes that's the way we present it, God help us. Of course, the other side of the spectrum says, "Hey, once you're saved forever. It doesn't matter what you do, because you've been saved by the grace of God. You couldn't save yourself, you can't unsave yourself." Glory to God, hallelujah, amen. But if the Spirit of Christ be in you, your body is dead because the sin of your spirit is alive. I'm not going to donate my organs when I die. There's so much stuff in there that I don't want to give it to somebody else. Last time I renewed my license bureau, she was very monotone, typing, talking while she's typing. She said, "Do you wish at this time to donate any organs?" I said, "No, I'm still using them." She tried not to grin, but she grinned at me. And I said, "You guys don't want what I got. But one of these days, I'm going to trade this broken down old body for a new body." The Bible says a spiritual body, a body just like this. And glory to God, there was nothing I could do to earn this. It's God's gift. That's what Christmas is about. And God came to these sinners and said, "I know the predicament you're in, but I've made a way. Zachariah, you and Elizabeth are going to have a son, and he's going to be my prophet. He'll be a Nazarite. He's not to eat grapes, drink wine, eat raisins, and don't let him cut his hair. Because he'll be a Nazarite from his mother's womb. Dedicated to God, filled with the Holy Ghost." And then he says, "Miss Mary, I know you're a virgin. I know you've never been with men. But I'm asking you right now to put your reputation on the line for me." Do you know what kind of a scandal that caused in Nazareth? You see, in this custom, when you are betrothed, we call it engaged, you are married. You just don't consummate your marriage. You don't come together yet. And you didn't go get her till Dad told you it was okay. So that made you want to get along with Dad real good. Actually, they were adding a room onto the house for you and your new wife because she became their daughter. And when the father, you built the room, and when your father said, "Okay, it's good enough," then you went and got your bride. Joseph and Mary were engaged, but they hadn't come together. She lived with her mom. He lived at his house. Maybe with his mom. I don't know. Or with his dad. But God said, "Mary, I need you to do something for me. And you're going to be talked ugly about. They're going to gossip about you. But I want you to bear my son." And Mary said, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be as you say. She was 3 months pregnant when her and Joseph got married. And I could hear the busybodies in Nazareth. Hey, they came back with a kid. And they've only been married 6 months. Got a wood colt. So Jesus started out already with a strike against him. Illegitimate birth. The fact that God so loved me, that because Adam brought sin into the world, he sent the second Adam, Jesus the Christ, to take the penalty of that sin upon himself so I could be called the Son of God. If you are here this morning and you have trusted Christ, you've been immersed in the waters of baptism, you are a child of the living God. His Spirit lives within you. And that's all His grace. That's all His doing. If you're here and you haven't obeyed His voice yet, what are you waiting for? I've had people tell me, well, I got some problems, man. When I get these problems figured out, then I'll come to church. I just come, bring your problems. There's a lot of problems in the church. You'll find somebody you can hook up with. I'm serious. I remember I told one guy that. I said, you think there ain't no problems in the church? Come to our church. I'll point them out to you. No, I didn't say that. It's becoming more and more and more and more real. I can't emphasize that enough. That because of the work that Jesus Christ has done in His body. I keep kicking that thing over. There. For now. Because of the work that He's done in people like me, we got something to tell the world. What are we ashamed of? Are we ashamed of the gospel? Oh, I hear no, but who are you sharing it with? Really? I have had to look in that spiritual mirror myself, and I say, Lord, I love you. You saved me from sin. He said, well, why don't you tell somebody? I believe that one of my calls, besides being a shepherd in this church, is to reach out to the dopers. The misfits, you know, because I was one, and I can understand them. Amen. God has a call for every person in this room who's His. Yeah. There are people you can talk to that would not let me in their front door. There's people I could talk to that you wouldn't want to go through their front door. Yeah. This is what Christmas is about. It's nice to exchange gifts. If it's done in the thought of God gave the greatest gift to us, which is Jesus Christ. But why do we want to stay within these walls and, you know, talk about Jesus? I love to talk about Jesus. That's my favorite subject. You know, before I got saved, I didn't talk much. And I know that's hard for you to believe, but I didn't. Just didn't have a lot to say. But now, man, there's days that comes over me, and I want to tell everybody I meet about Jesus Christ. So what do? Sometimes I just lay down until the feeling goes away. Because then I've got to get involved with people, and I really don't want to be involved with people. That's kind of weird for a minister, isn't it? I remember an evangelist was here years ago and said, the ministry would be the best job in the world if it wasn't for people. I said, yeah. He said, the perfect church is 350 a week, 400 seating capacity, and nobody showing up. We all feel that way sometimes, don't we? Jesus said in the last days, because iniquity would abound, the love of most will grow cold. Whose love? The church's love.
We're to go out in the love of Jesus Christ. We have good news right now. God is ready to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to make you a new creation in Christ. But the day's coming when He comes back, it's too late. Your fate is sealed. What you are is who you will be when you stand before Him. Praise God, what a God we have. I'm glad there were Christians willing to come up and talk to a long-haired doper and say, Jesus loves you, man. And they wouldn't quit until I accepted Jesus Christ. God didn't give up on me. That's what I'm saying. He hasn't given up on anyone in this room. And sometimes Christians, I told you this last Sunday, sometimes He'll pull His presence away just so you can see what's in you. And I'm sorry to say that's when a lot of Christians walk away. Oh, I can't do this. I had a guy said, I tried it, man. I couldn't do it. I said, I couldn't do it either, but boy, the Holy Spirit in me can do it. He gives me the power to keep going. Where am I going to go? I feel like Peter, Lord, where am I going to go? If I walk away from You, where am I going to go? When I tasted of the heavenly gift and the powers of the age to come, when the blood of Christ has cleansed me from sin, and I'm not that guy I was 34 years ago, praise God, I'm glad He's dead. He caused me a lot of trouble. Would you stand with me this morning? What has Christ done in your life in the past year? Ask yourself that. How have I been changed by the Spirit of Christ growing me in just the last year? Yeah, how about the last week? That gets a little hard to count sometimes. Yeah. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted that free offer of God's grace, come up here and let's talk. Don't walk out of here and say, well, I'll think about it. Because you may not have tomorrow. You may not get next Sunday. Would you tell them as we sing the song of invitation? Congregations are hurting, either psychologically or physically. Keep ending the prayers. We have a prayer list on the back of the bulletin. It's not all inclusive. There's other things you can be prayed about. Pray for the elders of the church. Pray that God will cause us to serve you as godly men, to lead you in the right way, as a shepherd should his sheep.
Please be back tonight. Dr. Mark's going to be teaching on kids. It's been a good class, and I got on mine range, but it's made me look back and say, boy, I didn't do a very good job. Well, I'm going to ask Brother John if he'll close for us in prayer, please.
Father, we thank you for everything you've done for us and things we're not even aware of. And we pray that you would bless those who came out today and be with those who are not here for whatever reason. And continue to comfort those who are fighting overseas for our freedom. Amen.
Don't have it on the map. Mountain that Jesus Christ is for.